know, here in the first hour of Issues Etc., we were not going to let Easter week pass us by without an Easter sermon review. Robert Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral has been kind enough to provide us with an Easter sermon. We'll see how he does on something that, look, any pastor worth his salt should be able to step blindfolded, just woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, unprepared into the pulpit on Easter and at least deliver the message of the gospel and the true comfort of Easter. You should be able to do it. A lot of pastors dread Easter Sunday. You want to know why? They dread it because they say to themselves, well, it's just what I preach every other Sunday. There's no reason to dread Easter Sunday, by the way. We'll hear what Robert Schuller has to say here in just a moment. We'll be reviewing his Easter Sunday sermon from the Hour of Power program and the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Then in the second hour of the program, at least the better part of it, we'll take up the issue of cremation with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Now, I have had people talk to me about, we've only done one or two shows on cremation, but these are the ones people talk to me when I'm out and about. I heard that show on cremation. One pastor said, it was great. Another one said to me very recently, I completely disagreed with what you guys had to say on cremation. It is one of those subjects that we don't talk about a lot, but it really does stir people's passions. We'll see what Brian Wolfmiller has to say there in the second hour of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. Then starting right near the end of that second hour, running until 5:30, the 100th anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival. Was it really a revival? Was it the beginning, the real beginning of the Pentecostal movement? Bob Lico of Discernment Ministry International will be our guest. And then we've got audio open lines for you for the last half hour of Issues Etc. today. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Here's my question for you as we go into this sermon review. This is my question for you. Listen carefully. There's some good stuff in Robert Schuller's sermon. But from my point of view, there's something missing. Something very important for an Easter sermon. For any sermon, really, but especially for an Easter sermon. There's something very important missing from this sermon. In fact, one might even say you could listen to this sermon and not get the full comfort of Christ's resurrection. You will hear a talk about Christ's resurrection and even his crucifixion, which is rare for a Crystal Cathedral sermon, but what's missing from this Easter sermon? Listen carefully. I'll listen along. We'll stop and start. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The title of the sermon is Let's Celebrate Easter. Robert Schuller's preaching it from the Crystal Cathedral.
Thank you, orchestra. The orchestra has been here since 4:45 this morning. And we just really, really appreciate you and all you do for us. Also have to thank all the people behind the scenes you don't see who makes it possible for me to be heard. They've been here since very early this morning, and many of us came very early. I myself came before dark. Oh, man, I was driving through the dark. And you won't believe what happened. This little creature darted in front of my car. And I slammed on my brakes, and I could not stop in time. Isn't that sad? And I ran over him. And I jumped out of the car, and I went running over there. And there he was. Dead. A little bunny. And next to him was his big basket of eggs. I was mortified. I didn't know what to do. So I did what every good grown-up man does. He calls his wife. I said, Donna, what am I going to do now? She goes, I think I might have something. And she went the car, and she opened up her purse. She said, I think I've got just the ticket. And she pulled out this little can. And she went running over to the bunny.
she. And she looked at it. Nothing happened, so she did it some more, and pretty soon his nose started to twitch. And his ears perked up. And pretty soon he stood up and he shook just like a wet dog. And he grabbed his basket of eggs and he ran off. And he stopped and he'd wave. And then he'd run a little bit further and he'd stop and he'd wave. And he did that until he just went off into the darkness. Ah, my wife saved me. I said, "What did you spray on that bunny?" She handed me the can. I took a look at it. Of course, hairspray. It says right here, gives life to dead hair. Creates permanent wave.
Okay. I hate it when sermons start with a joke, okay? But we had to get that one out of the way because if you didn't see that one coming like 5 miles away, you just weren't paying attention. What it has to do with Easter? Not a lot. I guess there must be some bunny connection there. All right. Our diagnostic, now that we're past the comedy part of Robert Schuller's Easter sermon, which we could have done without, frankly. Jokes in sermons are like illustrations. If they don't have any bearing upon what you're going to say, the important thing you're going to say, just don't use them. They are a waste of your time, everyone's time. All right, our diagnostic, down to business. How often is Jesus mentioned? You'll hear Robert Schuller mention Jesus in this sermon. So keep track, a running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned. Then, part two of our diagnostic. If Jesus is mentioned, is he the subject of the verbs? Grammatically, is he the subject of the verbs? Is he the one driving the action of the verbs? This is simple grammar. That's part two of our diagnostic. Part three of our sermon diagnostic is if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then what are those verbs? What is the preacher, in this case Robert Schuller, what is he telling us Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? Are these the verbs of therapy where Jesus helps and empowers and enlightens, or are these the verbs of Scripture? When Scripture talks about Jesus, the one who takes your place at the cross, bears your sins, suffers for you, dies for you, and in particular on Easter Sunday, really, rises for you as well. Is all that there? Or in other words, when you get to the end of the sermon and you've kept tally of how often Jesus has been mentioned, and if he isn't mentioned, by the way, sermon wasn't about him. If he's mentioned, is he the subject of the verbs? If the sermon mentions Jesus, but you are the subject of the verbs, you're the one doing the action, again, the sermon wasn't really about Jesus, it was about you. And if he's mentioned and is the subject of the verbs, what are those verbs? Is this Jesus the Savior or Jesus the life coach, the friend, the lover, the helper? When you're done with that and you've kept track of everything, you will know, at least in a basic way, whether this sermon was about Christ and what he did for you, or about something else. And when you're done with all that, step back and ask yourself, what did the preacher tell me my problem is, and what solution did he give me for my problem? Is my problem sin or something else? Is the solution the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, lived, died, and lived again for me, or is it something else? You know, someone just sent me a little sheet in the mail with the diagnostic on it. It was a little thing he fills out during sermons. How often is Jesus mentioned? He has a little column for that. Is Jesus a subject of the verbs? He has a little column for that. And then what are those verbs? He had a column for that. And then at the bottom, he had those last two questions. What is the preacher telling my problem is? And what solution does he offer for my problem? I wonder if his pastor's nervous with him carrying around that diagnostic every Sunday, filling it out during each sermon. Okay, he's got his joke out of the way, and now the sermon proper from Robert Schuller. Let's Celebrate Easter is the title.
Wow, good stuff. the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is not found in a can. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is found in the personal relationship when we come face to face with who He is, the reality of His presence and His grace and His goodness in our lives. And Easter is a time where we recognize the fact that Christ broke through the chains of hell and death and came back to life again. That's what Easter is all about. That's the message of Easter.
Okay, now, in a very bare sense, he's right. The message of Easter, per se, is Christ's victory over death, His resurrection. Now, listen carefully. I asked you at the very beginning, what's missing from this sermon? Listen carefully for how he explains what Easter is really about, all about, and what Easter, what Christ's resurrection means. Now, notice one thing. He has mentioned that Jesus broke the power of death. But so far, and that's good, that's good. So far, he has not mentioned how Jesus got dead in the first place. And we've talked about this before. A lot of Easter Sundays talk about Jesus' victory over death, and they leave the cross behind. But it's very important that the two go together. When we talk about preaching Christ crucified, we're not talking about preaching a dead Jesus, but a risen Jesus, risen from the dead, crucified for us, and risen from the dead. So he's done well to mention the resurrection, to put Jesus in his proper place at the head of the verbs, the one who has broken the chains of death for us. He might have to backtrack a little bit to get to the cross. Let's see if he does it.
Jesus came. He died. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Why? So that you and I can experience the presence and the love and the grace of God. That's why. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have tragedies in our life. Tragedies are going to happen. Just the physical death that we experience alone is tragic enough. And we all know that the most natural thing in life is physical death. We receive the promise from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life."
Okay, now, before he goes too much farther there, good stuff. He even quoted John 3:16, another rarity at the Crystal Cathedral. He says, Jesus came, He died, 3 days later He rose. Why? He says, so that we can have His presence and His grace. Now, nothing there that he said is false. It is a little bare bones. I mean, it's a little difficult to tell exactly why Jesus had to die. There's really no mention of sin here. Sin might be considered a downer any Sunday at the Crystal Cathedral, but maybe even more so on Easter Sunday when it's all supposed to be bunnies and flowers and eggs. And Jesus goes nicely with that colorful theme if we don't mention why he had to die. Do you see what we're getting at here? Okay, we can listen to this Easter sermon and all the things are in the right place. The bare elements are all in the right place. Is it good news that Jesus died and rose again? Even Jesus died and rose again so that we could have his presence and his grace. If the reason Jesus died isn't mentioned yet. Now, he might mention it. We'll see. We'll see. Could this be what I've come to call a gospel without sin? All the elements are there. Jesus died. He rose again. He did it so that he could bring you back to God. But the whole fact that you were estranged from God is strangely missing. But don't get me wrong. That's not the only thing missing from this sermon.
And throughout history, there have been pastors and there have been teachers who claim that that meant physical life. But we know today that that's not true. The physical life as we've experienced it will pass away. And there will come a time when we have to go through the grief and the agony of losing loved ones and people who are dear. And it's a tough time. We need to pray for the people who are going through very difficult times today. All the families whose loved ones are in troubled parts of this globe, like Iraq and Afghanistan. And there are many other troubled parts of this globe. There are families who are in hospitals this morning. In fact, yesterday I went to the hospital to call on some good friends of ours, Lorenda and Mike. They have a little boy. His name is Jordan. And over a week ago, he started having what they thought was the flu, and the flu just persisted for 3 days, and his fever continued until finally he started getting delirious and started saying things and doing some weird things. So they took him to the doctor, and the doctor diagnosed him with spinal meningitis. He's been in the hospital now for a week. For a long time he wasn't able to eat, and so yesterday I was there with the family, and I put my hand on his head, and we prayed together, and I could feel that heat coming off of his head. And they were very happy because his temperature was now down to 99.6. We prayed for him. It's a tough time. There's many people in the hospital this morning, on Easter morning. But the good news about Easter is that we have the promise that when the time comes, and it will come for every single one of us, when the time comes for us to leave this earth and to enter this new spiritual realm that we do not understand but we know exists, we see it, we understand it, science, molecular mechanics is starting to comprehend it and try to mathematically equate it, so we know it's there. The time will come when that happens. And we will remember Easter.
Okay, that's from this point on in the sermon, he's not going to add a lot. I've listened to it, I can tell you that. We'll listen to the rest of it, of course, just to see. But a couple things are missing here. And he's left you some, just like the Easter Bunny, kind of dropping eggs judiciously in your back garden. He's left you some clues as to what I'm asking about. A few phrases there that when I read them and when I heard them, I thought to myself, well, that's an odd thing for a Christian preacher to say on Easter Sunday. What's missing from this sermon? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issues@kfuo.org. We're reviewing one of Robert Schuller's sermons from Sunday, Easter Sunday, called Let's Celebrate Easter, delivered at the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. It was on the Hour of Power on Easter Sunday morning. Again, those call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're using our diagnostic, our three-part diagnostic, but I also have this question for you, a very crucial question for an Easter sermon. What is missing here? He's talked about Jesus coming and dying, and on the three days later, rising again. Now, he hasn't mentioned sin. That's one of the obvious things. It should be obvious that it's missing. But something else is missing here that really must be a part of an Easter sermon. Because for all the things that Easter does mean, or for all the things that Christ's resurrection does mean, if you leave this one thing out, as he does, it doesn't really give us any hope. At least that's what Paul has to say. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. All right, back to the sermon.
What is Easter all about? I was reading my Bible yesterday. A little girl, Marissa, came up to me and she said, "What are you reading?" I said, "Oh, I'm reading my Bible." She said, "Oh, what's it about?" I said, "Oh, it's about Jesus. Do you know Jesus?" She goes, "Yeah, I know about Jesus." I said, "So do you know about Easter?" She goes, "Yeah, I like Easter. I get presents on Easter." I said, "So do you know that about Jesus dying on the cross? Yeah, I know about Jesus dying on the cross. Do you know about him coming back from the dead and what that's about? That's what Easter is? She goes, no, I didn't know that. I said, well, Jesus died, and after he died, they put him in this great big cave, and then they rolled this great big rock in front of the cave so the animals wouldn't get his body or somebody wouldn't try and steal his body. And that's the way they buried people 2,000 years ago, because this book is 2,000 years old. And her eyes got this big. That book is 2,000 years... No, not this book. I'm sorry, this message is 2,000 years old. Oh, okay. So that's a copy. I go, yes, this is a copy. I said, so they rolled this big stone. And then these ladies went to the tomb to pray for Jesus and to put some spices on his body and stuff. And when they went there, the stone was rolled away because he came back to life again. She goes, oh, good, now I know what Easter is all about. She goes, well, how do you know it's true? Boy, out of the mouth of babes. How do you know it's true? I said, well, there were these four people actually witnessed and saw Jesus after he resurrected from the dead, after he came out of that tomb. There's four different people who wrote about him, and there was a whole bunch of people who saw him. And so we know it's true. Oh, she says, the message is real. It took place 2,000 years ago, and today we don't have the liberty of seeing Jesus physically in our presence. I have heard testimonies of people who say they have. I personally have not. Very rare, those who have. But what's more important is the words of Jesus when he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe.
Okay, now those are familiar words of Jesus. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And he's gone back over again the events of Easter, kind of putting it in the context of how he talked to this little girl. And yet again, he's walked over Easter, the events of Easter. He said earlier that there's nothing more natural than physical death. Is that true? He said earlier also that this physical life will pass away and that we will enter into a spiritual realm that we don't understand. Now, I'm asking you, you can call during this break, is that the real message of Easter? That when we die and when we stand before Jesus, we will remember Easter. This physical life will pass away, we'll enter a spiritual realm, and we'll remember Easter. There is something missing here, something pretty important. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a regular listener to Issues, Etc., you know that every month we offer our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month. Our Book of the Month for April, it's called Mommy Promises. It's a children's book about the unique relationship between mother and child. All of our Issues, Etc. Books of the Month are available from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or Concordia Publishing House also operates two bookstores in the St. Louis area. One is at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, the other on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in Clayton. Their toll-free number again, 1-800-325-3040. Concordia Publishing House carries our Issues, Etc. Books of the Month. Our Book of the Month for April, Mommy Promises, 1-800-325-3040, or at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary.
From the National Institutes of Health, this is NIH Health Matters. Are you doing something in your sleep that could kill you? If you suffer from sleep apnea, the answer to that question could be yes. Dr. Carl Hunt is director of the National Center on Sleep Disorders Research at the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. He said sleep apnea is much more common than first thought.
Sleep apnea is a sleep disorder, a condition in which people snore loudly and frequently and have intermittent brief pauses in their breathing during sleep. And these pauses have two major problems. They interfere with sleep quality. And during these pauses, oxygen levels briefly decrease. And the decrease in oxygen levels creates a risk for a whole host of cardiovascular-related potential complications.
More about the health risks in our next report. From Bethesda, Maryland, I'm Bill Schmalfeld. This has been NIH Health Matters.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Yesterday in O'Hare Airport, I bought both Chicago papers, the Trib and Sun Times, and showed the front pages to my friend. Both papers ran big pictures of former Governor Ryan, convicted on 12 counts of corruption. Isn't that terrible, I said. How politics have deteriorated. That's right, my friend replied. It is terrible, I said again. Being a lifelong Illinoisan, our crooked politicians are supposed to get off. They are not supposed to be caught and convicted. This is not politics as we know it. And we both laughed. When the sin of another comes your way, are you able to smile and not get all hot and bothered? I'm not asking here if you condone sin. You should not condone sin. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't speak to a sinning friend or family member about wrong conduct. Here's what I am asking. Do you apply your heavenly hope to the nuisances of life? Because of Christ's death and resurrection, we look forward to a heavenly future where there will be no sin. So now, when the sin of another comes your way, and maybe hurts you personally, can you smile knowing that this too shall pass? I mean, after all, if there is hope of cleaning up Illinois politics, maybe we can bear with the sins of others on this side of eternity. 1 Peter 4:8 says, love covers a multitude of sins. I'm Dale Meyer.
Our 2006 Share-a-thon to celebrate the ministry of AMA 50KFUO will be Thursday through Saturday, April 20th through the 22nd. Our hope is that you will prayerfully consider making a gift to our ministry during those 3 days. Every gift, large or small, helps keep the ministry going here at KFUO. The dates again are Thursday through Saturday, April 20th through the 22nd. Please partner with us during Share-a-thon 2006 on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Right here in the middle of the first hour, we're reviewing the Easter sermon from Crystal Cathedral, Robert Schuller preaching, Let's Celebrate Easter. Now, this is a pretty short one for him, and reviewing what he's done, we'll do that in a minute. He's, at least according to the first part of the diagnostic, he's not doing too bad, but there's something missing, and I'm asking you, what is missing from this Easter sermon? There's actually a couple things missing, but I'm looking for one thing in particular. Before we go on, there is a place where men are being trained to preach Easter or any Lord's Day, any Sunday, any celebration of Christ's death and resurrection, and not leave important things out, but preach the whole counsel of God and preach Christ for sinners. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is one of those places. To find out more about them, find their logo at our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. When you go there, just scroll down a little bit and you'll find the Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne logo right at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, so far, let's just review what's come so far, and then I'll go to the phones. This shows a weakness in the diagnostic that we normally use. And I've said it many times, our diagnostic is not all-inclusive. You can use this diagnostic with a sermon, and some things do slip through the cracks. There's no doubt about it. I've never claimed that it's perfect. It's just a basic way of determining whether the sermon is about Jesus and what he's done for you, or about you and what you've done for him or somebody else. Okay? Whether it's preaching the Christian or the Christ. So far, he's mentioned Jesus many times. So far, when he has mentioned Jesus, for the most part, Jesus has been the subject of the verbs. And he's got all the right verbs so far. He really does. Jesus came, he died, he rose 3 days later, he's come to give us grace, he's come to give us mercy. So according to that part of the diagnostic, he's doing great. But there's still something missing. Now, if you go on to that second question that we always ask in our diagnostic, what's our problem? Not a clue. Why Jesus came? Who knows? No mention of sin. No mention of that problem we had, or why Jesus needed to die for us, or why we needed him to die for us. Let's go to the phones. Darcy calls from her car. Darcy, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Darcy.
Hi. He's totally left out the bodily resurrection. I mean, has he never read Job? We just heard that on Saturday. With my flesh, I will... Is that right? In my flesh, I will see him again?
You know, you're right, Darcy. He's mentioned Jesus' resurrection, although he hasn't made it very clear that Jesus' resurrection was a physical resurrection.
That's true.
One might get the impression that Jesus' resurrection could have been something other than physical, if you've listened to this so far, but he's left out our resurrection.
Yep.
And the last time I checked, Paul really makes a big deal out of the fact that the dead will be raised. And he connects it to the fact that Christ is raised. Darcy, thank you very much. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Tressa calls from Billings, Montana. She listens on the Internet. Tressa, welcome.
Hi, Todd.
Hi.
I agree with Darcy. I was thinking of Romans 6, and I was thinking of baptism, that we're buried with Christ in our baptism, and that's how we know that we'll have new life, because since he was raised from the dead, we will be too.
What are you hearing so far from Schuller's sermon by way of being raised to new life? What does it sound to you like to you so far?
I don't know. To me, new life, when I think of new life, I think of eternal life, and he doesn't seem to hit on that.
Well, he's got eternal life.
Oh, he does.
But as Darcy's pointed out, that eternal life that he has is spiritual, not physical.
Right, yeah. I had a question, too. In the Crystal Cathedral, is there anything besides the sermon? Is there any kind of liturgy at all?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you, Tressa. Well, as I only know what I know from watching The Hour of Power, and there's lots of singing. It's usually done by the choir. They have a very sophisticated orchestra and choir, and there are lots of little messages, sometimes interviews. If you ever go to their website, Hour of Power, whatever it is, you can find it. It's not too hard. You can't watch the whole service, but you can watch little elements of it. You can watch little bits, the main message, the little side messages. It's kind of a little, it's kind of like Oprah, you know, where she does a little thing here and a little thing there, and then she has her main guest, and then she does another little thing, and there's musical interludes. As far as I can tell, that's about what you get at the Crystal Cathedral. So let's see what this is. Something here is missing. We'll see in the last few minutes of the sermon whether he can manage to mention it. He's got Jesus coming, dying, rising again. He hasn't told us why, but Robert Schuller Sr. made it very clear when he talked to us as a guest on this program, he doesn't mention sin. And I think his son is following in his father's footsteps. He doesn't mention sin. Now, if you're not going to mention sin, it's really difficult to explain what Jesus is doing dead on a cross. But they don't seem to have a problem with that. They can talk about Jesus coming, dying, and rising again without ever mentioning sin. Go figure. And when he says, what does Easter mean? He says, there's nothing more natural than physical death. That's untrue. That's patently untrue. There is nothing natural about physical death. Physical death is the result of sin. Physical death is an alien intruder into God's creation. It is the result of man's rebellion against God. It is, by very definition, unnatural. There is nothing natural about physical death. Is it a universal reality? Of course it is, but that doesn't make it natural. Mortality is not our natural state. It is our unnatural state. Mortality is not how God created us. It is what we became because of our rebellion against God. So to say that there's nothing, does it sound comforting? There's nothing more natural than physical death. You ever watch anybody die? You watch it sometime and tell me how natural that is. So that is not true. But he doesn't stop there. He says, this physical life will pass away. This physical life as we know it will pass away. Okay, but he might be talking about death, but then he says we're going to enter a spiritual realm that we cannot understand. Darcy's right. There has been no mention of my resurrection or your resurrection. Now, look at what Paul says in Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, he does not start by saying, if Christ is not raised. He starts by saying, if the dead are not raised, then Christ hasn't been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, we're doomed. Schuller's got Jesus coming, dying, rising again, and then you and I just go to heaven as spirits, which is a lot what a lot of Christians believe. A lot of Christians think they can do without the physical bodily resurrection when Christ comes again. But you can't. Christ came not only to conquer death in his resurrection, he came to conquer death, your death, with your resurrection too. What is awaiting us in eternal life is not a spiritual realm, but a physical realm, and a resurrected body, and seeing Christ physically, face to face. You know, that's missing from a lot of Easter hymns, too. And a lot of Christians think that the comfort of Easter is, when I die, I go to heaven. And they forget that the comfort of Easter is, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who dies, even though he dies, he will live. And he who lives and believes in me will never die. And Darcy mentioned Job. I know that my Redeemer lives and that on the last day he will stand upon the earth, and I with my own eyes, even after my flesh is wasted away, I with my own eyes will see him. All right, he's got more sermon. We'll finish it up here. Let's talk with Jerry very quickly before we go back to the sermon. Jerry from South County, welcome.
Hi, Todd. Thanks. Well, the Council of Nicaea, by naming in 325 AD, they named Easter, you know, the resurrection day of Jesus Christ, Easter. And this is why we are seeing Easter holiday sermons. We're not seeing the sermons of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the message of salvation he brought to us. So Jesus takes a backseat to a pagan Easter goddess of fertility. And that's why we must change the name Easter and bring it back to Christ and call it Resurrection Day of our Lord and Savior.
All right, Jerry, thank you. What we call the day is immaterial. The pagan associations with that may have existed with the name Easter have long ago evaporated in the mists of history, if they ever were there in the first place. The Council of Nicaea set the date of Easter. I don't know that they called it Easter. I'd have to look into that. They did set the date of Easter for the church to celebrate it so that Christians would have a common day to celebrate it. But whether you call it Easter or Resurrection Day or Christ is Risen Day or He is Risen Day, what Christians celebrate under the name Easter is not a pagan goddess, Jerry. It is the God-man Jesus Christ having conquered death for us sinners and conquering our death in our resurrection as well. Lael's calling from her car. Hi, Lael.
Hi, Pastor. What he hasn't mentioned is the reason why we die, the sin that we have. And is he calling death natural? Is it sin also natural too then?
You know, that's a great question, Lael. I hadn't thought about it that way. Thank you. You know, if you refuse to mention sin, now the senior Schuller said, we don't mention sin. It's a downer. And the younger one seems to be following in his footsteps. If you don't mention sin, you have a hard time explaining what Jesus is doing dead on the cross. You have an even harder time explaining why you die. Unless, of course, like Robert Schuller has said, there's nothing more natural than physical death. Do we die because we're sinners? Or do we die just because that's the way of the world? That's the way things happen. If you won't mention sin, very good, Lael. If you won't mention sin, then you have to come up with either some other reason why we die, or you just have to say, death happens. We don't know why. Jesus came to conquer it, so that you could, not so that your body could live again, but so that you could go and live in a spiritual realm with him. You get to be Casper the Friendly Ghost for all eternity, and not who you are as God created you, body and soul. All right, back to the sermon.
And that's most of us here today. We have not seen the resurrected Jesus Christ. We have not had the privilege of hearing his voice speak to us and say, put your hands in my sides. Put your hands in my palms if you do not believe. Instead, we believe because we have heard the testimonies of people who gave their lives because it was true.
Now, before he goes on, listen to this is the conclusion of his sermon. Listen to this. Listen to the scenario that he lays out on this Easter Sunday for you and for everyone who watches the Hour of Power and all the people gathered there in the Crystal Cathedral. He has a very interesting view of Judgment Day. Now, remember, it's all tied together with the fact that they don't want to talk about sin. So this is a very different judgment day than Scripture would say. Now, here's the normal scenario you hear, right? Jesus comes back. He judges the living and the dead, and those who are found in him, that is, those who trust in him, receive eternal life, those who do not believe, eternal condemnation. That's the simple story of Judgment Day. Can you talk about Judgment Day if you don't talk about sin? I mean, when you don't talk about sin, there are a lot of things that have to be omitted from your theology and your preaching. You have to avoid the real reason for death. You have to avoid the real reason for Christ dying. If he's not dying for sinners, then he must be dying for some other reason, although that goes unexplained in this sermon. Oh, you're also very happy about Jesus rising from the dead, but what has he saved you from? Not physical death. No, not physical death. Because your body's going to stay dead in the tomb. Your soul will somehow go to be in that spiritual realm. This is not the Christian message of Easter. I don't know how more plainly to put it.
But what's more important is the words of Jesus when he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that's most of us here today. We have not seen the resurrected Jesus Christ. We have not had the privilege of hearing his voice speak to us and say, put your hands in my sides. Put your hands in my palms if you do not believe. Instead, we believe because we have heard the testimonies of people who gave their lives because it was true. And by not renouncing the reality of it, they gave their lives. And the day will come when we each come face to face with God. That is a guarantee. You know, there's two things in life that are guaranteed. One is taxes. And the other one's the fact that the physical bodies that we have will not last forever. In fact, the Bible says they can last up to 120 years. Man's day shall not be forever, it says in Genesis 6. Man's day shall not be forever. It shall be 120 years. So there may be some people who
lived to be 120 years old. But the time will come when we face Jesus and we see God face to face. And God will ask us when we come into His presence, why should I let you into heaven?
Now, you know things are going wrong when this little scenario presents itself. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why preachers continue to repeat it. This whole scenario of one day you will stand and face Jesus or stand and face God, and He will ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? Where did this come from? Is there a single passage in Scripture where God, at the end of time, asks us, why should I let you into my heaven? God is some sort of bouncer at a nightclub. This makes heaven like the swanky restaurant we all want to get into, and we're all standing at the velvet rope trying to prove our credentials to Him. Where did this come from? It is not only the most useless description of Judgment Day, it is one of the most harmful. And the next time you hear it, put your hands over your ears until the preacher's done, because it can't lead you anywhere good. God is not going to be asking you anything on Judgment Day. God's going to do all the talking, and His verdict will stand. You are not going to get to testify on Judgment Day. It is not the trial phase. It is the sentencing phase. And at the sentencing phase, the defendant, be he declared innocent or guilty, has nothing to say. Okay, but you've heard this illustration before, and the answer is supposed to be, because Jesus died for me. Schuller's got an interesting twist in answer to the question when God says, which He won't, but according to the scenario, when God says, why should I let you into heaven?
And if you answer, oh, start listing all the good things you've done, He's not going to be very impressed.
Not going to be very impressed. Now, He might let you into heaven, but He won't be impressed.
Even if your name is Mother Teresa, He's not going to be very impressed. The answer when God asks you, why should I let you into heaven? It's very simple. Because Jesus gave me an invitation. That's why. And then He'll ask you, oh, did you send in your RSVP?
I have never heard this version of when you stand before God. I have never heard this one before. This one is coming completely out of left field. Now, normally, even though it's the worst Judgment Day illustration ever, normally it's, why should I let you into heaven? Don't tell Him all the good deeds you did. Just say, Jesus died for me, and then He'll let you in. It's kind of like, wink, wink, and then He opens the velvet rope, and you get to walk in. That's not what Judgment Day is all about. It has nothing to do with what Schuller just said. Why should I let you into my heaven? Well, Jesus sent me an invitation. Well, did you RSVP? Oh, my goodness. Jesus gave me an invitation to the spring prom. Is that what this is? He's my prom date. Well, where's your corsage? How do I know you're really His prom date? See, this is a God standing there on Judgment Day, according to this scenario, pretty much ignorant of who you are, whose you are, and He's got to ask you all the questions. I don't know, who are you? I don't recognize you. You know what Jesus says about Judgment Day? Those whom He doesn't recognize on Judgment Day are going to hell. How does Jesus render the judgment over and over again in His parables about Judgment Day? I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Man, if you get to Judgment Day and God doesn't know who you are in some real trouble. The biggest trouble there is. All right, let's let him finish.
And your answer is, of course I did. It was Easter Sunday
2006, I sent in my RSVP and said, Lord, when I get there, you can count on me coming. I'm coming there. I'm accepting the invitation of Jesus Christ. But don't make it too soon. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And so we have been given the invitation. And today we send in our RSVP.
Okay, he's got a little prayer at the end, which I think is the Shuler version of the sinner's prayer. But since you can't mention sin, it's kind of like the, here, Jesus, I got your invitation. Thank you very much for asking me prayer. So whether or not you get into heaven on Judgment Day has nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus just invited you. It has everything to do with whether or not you promised by your RSVP to show up. I don't even know what to do with it. Dave calls from South County. Dave, welcome.
Hi, Todd. I want to make the case that Shuler's view on sin is skewed, because actually Shuler's a very good Hindu. Because I used to be a Hindu, and I know that one of the tenets of Hinduism is from Swami Vivekananda, who said the greatest sin that you can ever commit is to say you're a sinner. And I found a book by John MacArthur, and I can't put my finger on it, but that's an exact quote that Shuler gave at one point, that the greatest sin you can ever commit is to say you're a sinner. So we shouldn't wonder why a sermon is a little off.
A little bit off. Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much, and thanks for hanging on the line. Cindy, very quickly, we have less than a minute.
Sure. That question you asked, that, isn't that from, oh, now I can't read, James, the guy down in Florida, the evangelism explosion.
Oh, yes, that's right. Maybe he made it up. Was it D. James Kennedy? An evangelism explosion? Why should I let you in my heaven? I just picture God kind of wearing the pimped out bouncer suit. There's the velvet rope. We're all standing like a big crowd of people in our very best as we can, all hoping to get in. The celebrities, of course, the real saints, they're walking in, you know, just wink, wink, nod, nod. They get in, but the bouncer's asking us, who are you? I don't recognize you. Why should I let you into my club? Well, I got an invitation. Well, did you RSVP? Yes, I did. I promised to come. Oh, well, then that makes all the difference in the world. I don't know how you could steer an Easter sermon in a worse direction than that. When we come back, we'll be talking with Mark Tooley about Methodists and homosexuality. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.